Welcome back to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's Memorial Day weekend. I hope you're out in your backyard creating some grill envy in your neighborhood, whether you're at the cottage or you're by the pool. It might be a little chilly by the pool, but a lot of people open up their cottages this time of year. And, man, you got to eat. And what a better way to do it than getting out and doing it with a grill. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, welcome back. Thanks. You say pool. I was struggling with mine. It's only been open a couple weeks, and it's been cold. I don't have a heater anymore because my heater was roached. I'm too cheap to buy another one. But it was sucking air in the skimmer, and I was thinking that I had termites years ago. I thought maybe they got to my lines again. And I was just...
Use wood lines?
I was just getting... No, they love this plastic that the hose is made out of that's like licorice to them. So I was just about ready to start trenching lines out there. And I thought, well, I'm going to take this thing apart. And I took my little valves apart. And I saw around one of the O-rings, there was a whole bunch of dirt right up around the side. It was sucking the air in right before the skimmer. Cleaned it off, put a little bit of that stuff on it, put it back together. She's tight, baby. Nothing worse than having pool problems, because guess when you find out you have them?
Right, the day before the party.
When you want to use them.
Right, the day before the party.
You don't play with it in the fall. It's working fine. So little things in life can make you really happy.
Right.
But a little thing that could make me really happy is an affordable steak. When I think of an affordable steak, I think of sirloin.
Yep.
I think of something we call a sizzler. And I turn the boys in California when I do these gigs in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. They're big on tri-tips.
Sure.
So I taught them how to cut them into steaks. They had never done it before.
Oh, they're cooking the whole thing?
They're loving it now. They're making sizzlers. Johnny Brand made them famous.
Right.
But so how about a sizzler steak? What would you pair with a sizzler steak, Brian? We've got Brian Lesperance here from Fenn Valley.
It depends on how you're seasoning it. You know, I think a nice kind of medium-bodied dry red would be a great suggestion. We brought the Capriccio here today. That would be a good one. That's an un-oaked dry red. But sometimes that little more complexity with something that's got some oak age on it might tie in some of the smokiness from the meat on the grill. Also, you've got some, you know, if you're using any kind of pepper-based seasoning, a lot of your dry reds have that sort of peppery sensation as well, which should marry in pretty nice.
And how about this?
So we got our Adel's Vicar, which is a semi, it's an off-dry. We call it off-dry. It's just like under 1% residual sugar. It's a blend of Riesling and Traminette. Adel's Vicar means noble red. And it's a sort of obscure blend that typically would be Gewürztraminer and Riesling. And it's got
a little sweeter than a Gewürz, just slightly.
Well,
it
depends on how you finish it. But this one we do finish with just a touch of residual, which really makes it food friendly because it gives you kind of, it tones down the Traminette grape has a little spice to it, kind of tones that back a little bit. But that grape has so much flavor and Riesling has so much flavor that there's just tons of different things that this wine pairs in
with.
You
said you finish it with a little residual. What's that mean?
Just a little sugar. There's a little sugar to, you know, kind of take the edges off, as okay. I would say. Not much, under 1%. So we're talking about a less than a pinch in a normal-sized glass of wine. But a little goes a long way when it comes to that.
So that would take something like a Vino Verde and kind of bring it down to this level, acidity-wise.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of acidity in these two grapes. And so what humans tend to taste is the balance of acidity to the sugar. So if you have higher acidity, you can carry a little more sweetness and it doesn't taste flat. So a wine with lower acidity, you wouldn't be able to use as much sugar, else it just kind of starts tasting like sugar water.
So if I've got a big, I'm an 80-20 burger guy, right? I like fats flavor, call it bad, but that's how I use it, right? And so I've got a little bit fattier ground meat that, and we oftentimes play with the burgers. We'll stuff them maybe with some gorgonzola or some sliced
more
olives.
More fat.
Right. But, or sure. Sliced olives or something, but just to amp up the flavor a little bit. So you got this big, big blue cheese flavor with the strength of an olive with it. If I want to drink wine and not beer with that, what do you suggest?
Well, that's a powerful piece of food right there. Right.
Right?
So you're
right.
going to.
Fatty.
Yeah, you're going to go with something that's got some full flavor. Now, the Adel's Vicar on the white side would qualify. That's a big, for a white wine, that's got some structure and some body. I'd avoid something like a Pinot Grigio, which tends to be real light, real less intense, because it would probably just get bowled over.
Don't you want something a little bit acidic?
Yeah, the acid in wine is definitely going to help to keep your palate
clean
fresh.
Clean your palate.
Yeah, because the fat will kind of coat your taste buds, and the acid comes in and kind of washes
it out. It's
coated
a lot of
things. That ain't all it coats.
I'm going to grab some more Adel's Vicar.
Yeah. No, but that's a tremendous way that wine and food plays together. I mean, the idea that, you know, wine and cheese always goes together is in part based on that idea that the lipids in the fattier foods kind of do plug up those taste receptors, and that the acid and wine kind of wash them back.
So you should actually drink a little bit more wine when you're grilling then, because you cut the fat.
You don't need a reason. You just should, right?
Okay, so let's say I'm going to try a white meat, and we all do chicken to death, but let's say maybe, a pork tenderloin. I don't know if that's really a white meat.
I think it is,
kind
technically.
Of pink meat.
Yeah.
Might need a cabaret.
You know, when you're done grilling it, it's white. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good pairing. I mean, a lot of times, again, it comes back to how are you seasoning, how are you preparing it? You know, if you're going to do kind of a lighter-based seasoning on it, then you're going to want to a little lighter, less intense wine.
If I get a flavorful piece of meat, I mean, something with something like, well, when I was talking about tri-tips, you know, that's got a nice chuck profile to it. I'm just going to put sea salt and cracked pepper on it. I'm not going to take it into a profile because it's got so much great flavor. I don't want to mask that with... I'm not a big marinade your steak guy. Jop, are you?
Nope, not steaks.
I
chicken,
love it.
I'll marinate all day long.
Yeah, I don't even marinate chicken.
Yep, but I just enjoy imparting the flavor in the chicken because sometimes it's just chicken, you know, and you got to have something there to...
Chicken's just chicken.
Yeah, that's... especially if we take the skin off. Yeah. And we lose the fat, then it, you know, the protein's there and there's not a ton of flavor to it. So I'll put a marinade on that pretty regularly.
Okay, let's say I'm going to do some Jamaican jerk profile on some chicken thighs, skinless, boneless chicken thighs with some jerk.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to make a lot of sense, right? The thighs a little more flavorful. I just did this, actually. I think that Edel's Vicar would be a good pairing, the Cabaret Rosé would be a good pairing, the rosé we talked about earlier.
Well, we've only talked about these few you brought, the Capriccio. You have a whole bunch of other wines. So, I mean, you get, what do you have, 30, 40 different wines?
About 40, depending on the time of the year.
So what would be another good pairing for some chicken thighs with a spicy profile?
Especially if you're not into the dry wines, which you two are, but a lot of people aren't. We have a series called Lakeshore, which is a little more value-driven.
Wonderful.
And we have a product called Lakeshore Demi-Sec. Comes in with about 3% residual sugar, so it's a little more approachable for folks. But it's got a lot of flavor, so it would easily stand up to that.
That's
spiciness.
A surprising wine.
It's great.
Because you have a really plain label on it. It just says Lakeshore Demi-Sec, and it's just a blue label. And it almost, is it a budget wine?
It is. I mean,
kinda
it's under 10
like
bucks a bottle.
Kind of looks like a budget wine. Yeah. So when I opened my first bottle, I was like, well, you know, I've got this. I'll try it. I took one sip, and I'm like, wow, did I underestimate this wine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a budget wine for sure, and we do that on purpose. You know, that is one thing our scale gives us, is an opportunity to make wines less expensive.
So, Brian, everybody's got a different budget, right? So the spectrum of wines from low end, the budget, to the high end, for Fen Valley at the retail, at the winery there, what's that spectrum look like so people can put it in perspective?
Really, it's about $8 to about $22. There's a few things that fall outside of that range, but for the most part, that's where everything's going to land.
Right, and some of the specialty wines are limited editions. Yeah, right, those can be a little more, but where I'm going is this is affordable stuff. This is, we're not talking the stuff that you know, you got to make an investment in it. This is drinkable wine. It's made to be purchased and drink, rather than you don't store this. You can, because it'll, some of it'll store very well.
We always talk about pairing wines and meat.
Yep.
But this time of year, the asparagus are coming out fresh, right? So there's tons of asparagus. I grill asparagus probably twice a week because it's really good for you.
Yep.
Does that enter into the equation?
That's
when
a tough pairing.
Wine
and asparagus is a very tough pairing. We have two wines that we make that pair in decently well. One is Sauvignon Blanc. Sauvignon Blancs do pair with asparagus. And the other is a new grape for us called Muscat Antonelle.
Oh.
We make a dry wine out of it. So you think Muscat, you think Moscato. But this is a dry wine, and that one and asparagus are just fantastic.
Interesting. Brian, you're a wealth of knowledge, my friend, because it's we've yet to stump the vintner. But
like
we got another segment
too.
Coming, so maybe we can pull that off. But you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.